por amore. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya kar amore. Tama bina ke dayalu jagat sansare. Patita pavana hetu tava avatara. Masama patita prabhu na paibe ara. Masama patita prabhu na paibe ara. Aha prabhu nitananda Premananda Sukhi. Kripa Bala Kana Karo Ami Bara Dukhi. Daya kara sitapati Advaita Gosai. Tava kripa bale pai chaitanya nitai. Ha swarup sanatana Rupa Raghunatha. Pata Juga Shri Jivaha Prabhu Lokanatha. Daya kara Shri Acharya Prabhu Srinivasa. Yeah. Ramachandra Sangamage Narottama Dasa. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kara More. Toma Bina Kedayalu Jagat Sansare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad.
Jaya Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Parirajakacharya, Star Satishima, Shimad, is Divine Grace, Shil Prabhupad, Ki Jaya. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Samavita Bhakta Brinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious to Shishi Guru. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. So we're continuing our Saturday reading of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 23, Life's Ultimate Goal. Today we're reading text 74 through 77. Yeah. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dishitarne Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyabhacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnabhibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, text 74. Dakshino Vinay Dakshino Vinay Shriman Dakshino Vinay Shriman Sharanagatapalaka Suki Bhakta Surit Prema Vasha. What is it? Sarva Vasya Sarva Shubankara Okay. So we're continuing. These are the qualities of Lord Krishna. We'll find also in the Nectar of Devotion coming from the summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I think we're covering about 15 qualities today of Krishna. And those online, you can see there's on, I think, qualities are numbering from 46, no, sorry, from 35 through 50, I guess. 15 qualities here. So, translation, text 74, is Krishna is very simple and liberal. He is humble and bashful. He is the protector of the surrendered soul. He is very happy. And he is always the well-wisher of his devotee. He is all auspicious, and he is submissive to love. Maybe we'll do the one at a time. Krishna is very simple and liberal. This is Dakshina, the verse here. Dakshina is described. Dakshina, we mentioned something in the comments the other day that words have different meanings, different places like that. This is Srila Rupa Goswami has given some kind of explanation of this in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Prabhupada can also give us the same information in his Nectar Devotion. It's described here, liberal. Srila Prabhupada uses liberal here. In the translation here, Srila Prabhupada uses simple and liberal, dakshina. So the explanation is given that any person who is by his natural behavior very mild is called liberal. And some example is there, a statement by Uddhava after the Shamantaka jewel plundering confirms that Krishna is so kind and favorable that if a servitor is accused even of great offenses, Krishna does not take this into consideration. Well, this is a very important statement that anyway, the devotees, of course, they don't try to take advantage of such things, but this is very helpful. He simply considers the service that is rendered by his devotee. This is a Shamantaka jewel that Satrajit was a devotee. There was a I think, many considerations in that pastime. So Krishna is very kind. He takes in the service of the devotees into consideration, not their offenses. Next one, Vinayi. Vinayi is humble and bashful here. It's described here. Humble and bashful and gentle. Here it's described as shy in the nectar of devotion. Quality number 36. Somebody remember an instance when Krishna was shy? So remember the nectar of devotion? Yeah? No? Krishna was shy? A person who sometimes exhibits humility and bashfulness is called shy. I'm sorry. I think I got mixed up here. Let me see. Humble. That's bashful. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives humble as actually the next one here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So humble is described in the Nectar of Devotion as gentle. That's number 34, Vinayi. Vinayi is gentle. We'll come back to bashful in a minute. Humble is the next one in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes they're not in order exactly, but mostly very close. That's number 34, and that is described, translated here as gentle in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as humble, Vinayi. So anyway, 34, it says in the Nectar Devotion, it says, any person who neither becomes impudent nor exhibits a puffed up nature is called gentle, or Vinayi. The example of Krishna's, how about gentle? Anybody knows example of gentle? Oh, you get scholars of Chaitanya, Nectar Devotion. The example of Krishna's gentle behavior was manifested when he was coming to the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice arranged by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Krishna's elder cousin. That ring a bell? What happened? Maharaj Yudhishthira knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was attempting to get down from his chariot to receive Krishna. But before Yudhishthira could get down, Lord Krishna got down from his own chariot and immediately fell at the feet of the king. Even though Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never forgets to show social etiquette in his dealings. There are some other examples of that with his friend from Sudama. He sat him on his own bed and washed his feet. Okay, so the next one is bashful, humble and bashful. It says Shritman. So that's described in the Nectar Devotion as shy. Sometimes a person exhibits humility and bashfulness is called shy. Krishna's shy, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He exhibits some shyness sometimes. And that's also described in the Lalita Madhava. Krishna's shyness was manifested when he lifted Govardhan Hill by the little finger of his left hand. Remember? That time, all the gopis were surrounding him, observing Krishna's wonderful achievement, and Krishna was also smiling at seeing the gopis. When Krishna's glance went over the breasts of the gopis, his hand began to shake, and upon seeing his hand shake, all the cowherd men underneath the hill became a little disturbed. Then there was a tumultuous roaring sound, and they all began to pray to Krishna for safety. At this time, Lord Balaram was smiling, thinking that these cowherd men had been frightened by the shaking of the Govardhan Hill. But seeing Balaram smile, Krishna thought that Balaram had understood his mind in observing the breasts of the gopis, and he immediately became bashful. So that's an example of shy. And This next one is here is the protector of the surrendered souls, Sharana Agatapalaka. Sharana means surrendered, Agata, someone who is surrendered, and Palaka is the protector or the maintainer. So that's number 37 in Nectar of Devotion. It says, protector of surrendered souls. Krishna is the protector of all surrendered souls. Some enemy of Krishna's was enlivened with the thought that he didn't need to fear Krishna because if he simply surrendered unto him, Krishna would give him all protection. Krishna is sometimes compared to the moon, which does not hesitate to distribute its soothing rays, even on the homes of the Chandalas and other untouchables. So the surrenders, protector of the surrendered souls, and happy, Sukhi. Happy and Sukhi is described in two different ways in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Says happy is one who is always enjoys and one who is untouched by sorrow at any time. So it's Srila Prabhupada says that any person who is always joyful and untouched by any distress is called happy. As far as Krishna's enjoyment is concerned, it is stated that the ornaments which decorated the bodies of Krishna and his queens were beyond the dreams of Kubera, the treasurer of the heavenly kingdom. The constant dancing before the doors of Krishna's palaces was not to be imagined even by the demigods in the heavenly kingdom. In the heavenly kingdom, Indra always sees the dancing of the society girls, but even Indra could not imagine how beautiful were the dances being performed at the gates of Krishna's palaces. Gauri means white woman, and Lord Shiva's wife is called Gauri. The beautiful women residing within the palaces of Krishna were so much whiter than Gauri that they were compared to the moonshine, and they were constantly visible to Krishna. Therefore, no one can be enjoying more than Krishna. The conception of enjoyment is beautiful women, ornaments, and riches. And all of these were fabulously present in the palaces of Krishna, defeating even the imagination of Kuvera, Lord Indra, or Lord Shiva. And the other example is of untouched by sorrow, not even a slight distress can touch Krishna. Once some of the gopis went to the place where the brahmanas were performing sacrifices and said, "Dear wives of the brahmanas, you must know that not even a slight smell of distress can touch Krishna. He knows no loss. He knows no defamation. He has no fear. He has no anxiety. And he does not know calamity. He is simply encircled by the dancers of Braja and is enjoying their company in the rasa dance." Next one is where we are. Well-wisher of the devotees, Bhakta Surit. I think one of Krishna's prominent qualities, well-wisher of the devotees, Bhakta Vatsalya. I was going to think about. This is described that there's two different ways that Krishna is the well-wisher of devotees. He's very easily served, and he's also the friend of his servant. It's described that by Srila Prabhupada. It said that of Krishna's devotees, if they offer even a little water or a tulsi leaf in devotion to Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu is so kind that he will sell himself to them. This is the example of Advaitacharya. He quoted that same verse, Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he was calling for Lord Chaitanya's advent. So the favoritism for the devotees is that exhibited in his fight with Bhishma. When Grandfather Bhishma was lying at the point of death on the bed of arrows, Krishna was present before him, and Bhishma was remembering how Krishna had been kind to him on the battlefield. Krishna had promised that in the battle of Kurukshetra, he would not even touch a weapon to help either side. He would remain neutral. Although Krishna was Arjuna's charioteer, he had promised that he would not help Arjuna by using any weapons. But one day Bhishma, in order to nullify Krishna's promise, exhibited his fighting spirit so magnificently against Arjuna that Krishna was obliged to get down from his chariot. Taking up a broken chariot wheel, he ran toward Grandfather Bhishma as a lion runs towards an elephant to kill it. Grandfather Bhishma remembered this scene, and he later praised Krishna for his glorious favoritism towards his devotee, Arjuna, even at the risk of breaking his own promise. This is there's a little background to this story that one day, because the Kshatriyas had the very interesting fight, a code of fighting, that they would fight during the day, and then at the nighttime they were very cordial with one another, even the enemies like that, the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So anyway, in the Kaurava camp, Duryodhana was a little bit upset with the way things were going, and he kind of indicated this to Bhishma, who was the commander-in-chief of his army. He said, "You're not fighting to your best ability. I think you have some favoritism for these Pandavas. I think you're not fighting properly, or I think you're not..." He said, no, I'm doing..." Because Kshatriya code was very strict, they had to always, they had their very honor that they had to maintain. This is called Viraras. Even, of course, here this Bhishma, even though he's Mahajan, he was shooting arrows at Krishna like this. So anyway, this Bhishma, he said, no, I'll take care of the Pandavas. I have these five arrows, and tomorrow I will kill them all. So, of course, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He understood everything was going on. And he told Arjuna, he said, "Arjuna, you remember you have some, Duryodhana promised you some benediction. Why don't you go and ask him for this benediction now that he owes you a favor? Just go back to him, go to him and ask him for the five arrows that..." Because Bhishma, he told Duryodhana, he told, "Give me the arrows, I'll hold them for you till tomorrow." So Bhishma gave the five arrows to Duryodhana, and Krishna told Arjuna that to go and ask for those five arrows that Bhishma Dev gave him. And so Arjuna came there. Srila Prabhupada explains nicely. He says, came to Duryodhana, and he said, "You remember you offered me some boon like that one time?" He said, yes, whatever you want. What do you want? You want the whole kingdom without fighting? Then you take it. He said, no, I don't want the whole kingdom without fighting. We'll fight, but I just want those five arrows. Duryodhana was very surprised. "What? How do you know about those five arrows?" He said, "I know. Just give me the five arrows." So he gave him the five arrows. And when... Bhishma found out that by Krishna's trickery that Arjuna had taken away those five arrows, he said, "All right, he stopped my determination, so I will stop his determination not to pick up any weapons. If he doesn't pick up a weapon, his friend Arjuna will die. Either one or the other." He had such power. Bhishma Dev was such a powerful fighter. So that was a little bit of the background of that story, that this great exchange of love actually between Bhishma Dev and Krishna, that it's described that Bhishma Dev was feeling Krishna was feeling the arrows that were shot by Bhishma Dev at him, just like lovers' kisses, like are biting. Sometimes they bite with teeth like that. So next one is called All Auspicious. This comes out of order again. All Auspicious is the next in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We'll go on the order of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is called Sarva Shubhankara. And that is number 41 in Nectar Devotion. It would seem it's All Auspicious. Sarva Shubhankara. Shubha is auspicious and Sarva is all. And Kara, Ankara, Kara, one who does. So, all auspicious is a person who is always engaged in auspicious welfare activities for everyone is known as all auspicious. It says, after the disappearance of Lord Krishna from the planet, Uddhava began to remember the activities of the Lord and said, Krishna satisfied all great sages by his wonderful pastimes. He demolished all the demoniac activities of the cruel royal order and protected all pious men and killed all cruel fighters on the battlefield. Therefore, he is all auspicious for all men. And the last one in this verse is Prema Vashya, submissive to love or controlled by love. In the Nectar Devotion, it says controlled by love, number 40. And that says, Krishna becomes obliged to the loving spirit of the devotee and not exactly to the service rendered. No one can serve Krishna completely. He is so complete and self-sufficient that he has no need of any service from the devotee. It is the devotee's attitude of love and affection that for Krishna that makes Krishna obliged. A very nice example of this obligatory behavior was manifested when Sudama Vipra came to Krishna's palace. Sudama Vipra had been a class friend of Krishna's, and due to his poverty, he was induced by his wife to see Krishna to request some aid. When Sudama Vipra reached Krishna's palace, Krishna received him very well, and both he and his wife washed the feet of Sudama Vipra, showing respect to the Brahmana. Remembering his loving affairs with Sabrama in their childhood, Krishna began to shed tears while receiving him. Another instance of Krishna's obligation to his devotees is described in the 10th canto, 9th chapter, verse 18 of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami tells Pariksit Maharaj, my dear king, when Mother Yashoda was perspiring, tired of trying to bind Krishna up with rope, Krishna agreed to allow her to bind him. Krishna, as a child, was disturbing his mother by his naughty activities, and she wanted to bind him up. Mother Yashoda brought some rope from the house and tried to tie up the child, but could not tie a knot due to the shortness of the rope. She tied together many ropes, but when she finished, still the rope was too short. After a while, she felt very tired and began to perspire. At that time, Krishna agreed to be bound up by his mother. In other words, no one can bind Krishna by any means other than love. He is bound only by obligation to his devotees because of their ecstatic love for him. That's the meaning of Vashya. He's bound by that. Okay, next the next verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita is there that text 75 is Pratapi. You can repeat Pratapi Kirtiman Rakta. Pratapi Kirtiman Rakta. Lokasadu Samashraya. Lokasadu Samashraya. Narigana Manohari. Narigana Manohari. Sarvaraja Samriddhiman. Sarvaraja Samriddhiman. So, translation is that Krishna is very influential and famous. He is the object of attachment for everyone. He is the shelter of the good and the virtuous. He is attractive to the minds of women, and he is worshipped by everyone. He is very, very rich. So these are described in the Nectar Devotion also. That first one is Pratapi. Pratapi means influential. Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar Devotion, he calls it most powerful. Different synonyms for Pratapi. Says a person who can always put his enemy into calamities is called powerful. When Krishna was present on this battle planet, just as the powerful sun drives away all darkness, he takes shelter in caves. He drove away all of his enemies who fled like owls to take shelter beyond his sight. He was always victorious in battle with the Charasanda attacked Mathura city so many times, 17 times like that. It was always victorious. Next one is famous, Kirtiman. And the description in the given is a person who becomes well known due to his spotless character is called famous. So it is stated that the diffusion of Krishna's fame is like the moonshine, which turns darkness into light. In other words, if Krishna consciousness is preached all over the world, the darkness of ignorance and the anxiety of material existence will turn into the whiteness of purity, peacefulness, and prosperity. We have that logo for the Back to Godhead, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Haya Andhakar, that Krishna is like the sun, and Maya darkness, ignorance is like darkness. It says, when the great sage Narada was chanting the glories of the Lord, the bluish line on the neck of Lord Shiva disappeared. Upon seeing this, Gauri, the wife of Lord Shiva, suspected Lord Shiva being someone else disguised as her husband, and out of fear, she immediately left his company. Upon hearing the chanting of Krishna's name, Lord Balaram saw that his dress had become white, although he was generally accustomed to a bluish dress, and the cowherd girl saw all of the water of the Jamuna River turn into milk, so they began to churn it into butter. In other words, by the spreading of Krishna consciousness, all are the glories of Krishna, everything became white and pure. Famous. I think Sandipani Muni's gave Krishna also a benediction that he would be famous, that his words and the Bhagavad Gita are still respected after 5,000 years. Next one is Raktaloka, object of attachment, or in the Nectar Devotion it says popular. It says any person who is very dear to people in general is called a popular man. As for Krishna's popularity, there is a statement in the first canto, 11th chapter, verse 9 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that deals with his returning home from the capital of Hastinapur. While he had been absent from Dwarka at the Battle of Kurukshetra, all of the citizens of Dwarka had become morose. Then, when he returned, the citizens joyfully received him and said, "Dear Lord, while you were absent from the city, we passed our days in the darkness of night. As in the darkness of night, every moment appears to be a long duration of time, so while you were gone, every moment appeared to us like millions of years. Your separation is completely unbearable to us." This statement shows how popular Krishna was all over the country. A similar incident occurred when Krishna returned, or when Krishna entered the arena of sacrifice arranged by King Kamsa for his death. As soon as he entered the place, all the sages began to cry, "Jai, Jai, Jai," which means victory. Krishna was a boy at that time, and all the sages offered their respectful blessings to him. The demigods who were present also began to offer beautiful prayers to Krishna, and the ladies and girls present expressed their joy from all corners of the arena. In other words, there was no one in that particular place from whom Krishna was not very popular. Next is Sadhu Samashraya. Sadhu Samashraya is described as a shelter of good people. He is the shelter of the good and the virtuous. And 45 partiality to devotees in Nectar Devotion. Sadhu, of course. Sadhu sometimes means just good. And I think in Gujarati they say, "Kem cho, how are you?" They say, "Sadhu che, I'm good." So sadhu, of course, means a good person is really a devotee of Krishna. Of course, we say it's like a sadhu. Sometimes they also say, "Sadhu, sadhu, good, very nice." They reply like that. So partiality to devotees is described that although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is therefore not partial to anyone, It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that he has special attraction for a devotee who worships his name in love and affection. When Krishna was on the planet, one devotee expressed his feeling in this way. My dear Lord, if you had not appeared on this planet, then the asuras, demons, and atheists would have surely created havoc against the activities of the devotees. I cannot imagine the magnitude of such devastation prevented by your presence. From the very beginning of his appearance, Krishna was the greatest enemy of all demoniac persons. Although Krishna's enmity toward the demons is actually comparable to his friendship with the devotees. This is because any demon who was killed by Krishna receives immediate salvation. So, partiality to the sadhus. Next is where we are. Narigana Manohari. Narigana is women, ladies. And Manohari, he captures the mind of the ladies. Or number 46, all, very attractive to all women. Says any person who has special qualifications becomes immediately very attractive to women. A devotee made the following statement about the queens of Dwarka. How shall I describe the glories of the queens of Dwarka who were personally engaged in the service of the Lord? The Lord is so great that simply by chanting his name, all the great sages like Narada can enjoy transcendental bliss. So what can be said about those queens who were at every moment seeing the Lord and serving him personally? Krishna had 16,108 wives in Dwarka, and each and every one of them was attracted by Krishna, just as iron is attracted by a magnet. There is a statement by a devotee, my dear Lord, you are just like a magnet, and all the damsels of Raja are just like iron. In whichever direction you are moving, they are following you, as iron is attracted by magnetic force. The next one here is, Sarvarajya. Sarvarajya, he is worshipped by everyone, or all worshipable, bull number 47. A person who is very respected and worshipped by all kinds of human beings and demigods is called Sarvarajya, or all worshipable. Krishna is worshipped not only by all living entities, including the great demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, but also by Vishnu expansions, forms of Godhead, such as Baladeva and Shesha. Baladeva is a direct expansion of Krishna, but he still accepts Krishna as worshipable. When Krishna appeared in the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice organized by Maharaj Yudhisthira to all present, including great sages and demigods, Krishna became the cynosure, the center of attraction, and everyone offered him respects. Next one is Samridhiman, very, 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 very rich. Here in the Nectar Devotion says, all opulent. The example is given that Krishna is full in all opulences, namely strength, wealth, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. When Krishna was present in Dwarka, his family, which is known as the Yadu dynasty, consisted of 560 million members. And all of these family members were very obedient and faithful to Krishna. There were more than 900,000 big palatial buildings there to house all the people, and everyone in them respected Krishna as the most worshipable. Devotees were astonished to see the opulence of Krishna. This is verified by a Bilvamangala Thakur when in Krishna Karanamrita he addressed Krishna thus, my dear Lord, what can I say about the opulence of your Vrindavan? Simply the ornaments on the legs of the damsels of Vrindavan are more than Chintamani, and their dresses are as good as the heavenly Parijata flower. And the cows exactly resemble the Sarabi cows in the transcendental abode. Therefore, your opulence is just like an ocean that no one can measure. All right, then we go on to text number 76. Can repeat, Bariyan Ishwaras Cheti. Bariyan Ishwaras Cheti. Gunastasyanukirtita. Gunastasyanukirtita. Samudra eva panchashad. Samudra eva panchashad. Durvigaha harerami. Durvigaha harerami. So there's just two left here. Bariyan. There is a Bariyan who's found in the second canto. Shukadev Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj, Bariyanesha te prashna. That your question is very glorious. Varian Asha. Asha means this, and Te Prashna, this question of yours is very glorious. Here it's described as Krishna is the supreme. He is this is also not in the same. There's switched around. Krishna is the supreme. He is always glorified. Glorified as the Supreme Lord and Controller, or all honorable in the nectar devotion, this Varian. A person who is chief among all important persons is called all honorable. When Krishna was living at Dwarka, demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, the King of Heaven, and many others used to come to visit him. The doorkeeper who had to manage the entrance of all these demigods one very busy day said, my dear Lord Brahma and Lord, this is we have also the time when Lord Brahma came to meet Krishna, and he's dormant and said, which Brahma are you? But here it says, my dear Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, please sit down on this bench and wait. My dear Indra, please desist from reading your prayers. This is creating disturbance. Please wait silently. My dear Varuna, please go away. And my dear demigods, do not waste your time uselessly. Krishna is very busy. He cannot see you. This is an example of Varian. Very glorified. And the other one is Krishna's Varian Ishvaras Cheti. Ishvara means the controller, the supreme, here is Nectar Devotion says, the Supreme Controller. We have a couple of famous verses there. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabhrabhritya, that there's only one real controller is Krishna. Arasabhrabhritya, everyone else is his servant. And of course, the famous prayers of Lord Brahma are described that he says, Ishvara Parama Krishna, that Krishna is the supreme controller. Srila Prabhupada points out, just like all these qualities, the living entities has some kind of minute example of these qualities. Everyone, because we're part and parcel of Krishna, we have all of these qualities to some degree, just like controller. Srila Prabhupada points out, everyone has some controlling. He's controlling his disciples, the parents are controlling the children, the boss is controlling the workers, and everything is going on. So anyway, the Ishvara, and this is a little long one, that the Supreme Controller is described in the Nectar Devotion. There are two kinds of controllers or lords. One who is independent is called a controller, and one whose orders cannot be neglected by anyone is called a controller. See, these qualities of Krishna, that given here in the Nectar Devotions, there's given 64 qualities, but there's also unlimited qualities are there that can't be this Anantadev. He goes on narrating the qualities of Krishna with his 1,000 heads, and he can't come to the end of their qualities. Lord Brahma says in the 10th canto that in time, learned philosophers or science might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, the particles of snow, or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun, the stars, and other luminaries. But among these learned men, who could possibly count the unlimited transcendental qualities possessed by you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So these are just giving some examples here of, like, in this case, the Supreme Controller. There's two different types of controllers, as described there. So each one of these qualities can be divided in so many different ways, given some kind of indication for us to, these things are to be meditated upon. So anyway, it says that regarding Krishna's complete independence and lordship, Srimad Bhagavatam says that although Kaliya was a great offender, Krishna still favored him by marking his head with his lotus feet, whereas Lord Brahma, although having prayed to Krishna with so many wonderful verses, still could not attract him. This contradictory treatment by Krishna is just befitting his position, because in all the Vedic literature, he is described as the complete independent. The first verse of the Bhagavatam, Swarat, Abhigya Swarat. Swarat means completely independent. It comes in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord is described as Swarat, which means completely independent. Didn't see that coming. This is the position of the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is not only sentient, but also completely independent. As for Krishna's orders not being neglected by anyone, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 2nd chapter, verse 21, Uddhava tells Vidura, Lord Krishna is the master of the three modes of material nature. He is the enjoyer of all opulences, and therefore there is no one equal to or greater than him. All the great kings and emperors used to come before him, offer their gifts and pay obeisances with their helmets at the feet of the Lord. One devotee said, My dear Krishna, when you order Brahma, now you may create the universe. And when you order Lord Shiva, now you dissolve this material manifestation. You are in this way creating and dissolving the material creation yourself. Simply by your orders and by your partial representation of Vishnu, you are maintaining the universes. In this way, O Krishna, O enemy of Kamsa, you are so many, there are so many Brahmas and Shivas who are simply carrying out your orders. Was that Yad Bayad Pati Vato Yam, that the, by the order of the Lord, this wind is blowing, the Lord Brahma is creating and Shiva is destroying. All of these things are going on. So, what is it described? Actually, I didn't read some of these translations. I think I didn't read all of the other translations. Oh, and there's a purport to this one, too. Okay, so the translation 74, 75, 76. Krishna is very simple and liberal. He is happy and bashful. He is the protector of the surrendered soul. He is very happy, and he is always the well-wisher of his devotee. He is all auspicious and he is submissive to love. Krishna is very influential and famous. He is the object of attachment for everyone. He is the shelter of the good and the virtuous. He is attractive to the minds of women and he is worshipped by everyone. He is very, very rich. 76 says, Krishna is the supreme. He is always glorified as the supreme Lord and controller. Thus, all the previous mentioned transcendental qualities are in him. The 50 qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead above mentioned are as deep as an ocean. In other words, they are difficult to fully comprehend. And we're supposed to do 77 also. One more verse. Jiveshvete vasantopi. Jiveshvete vasantopi. Bindu bindu taya kwachit. Bindu bindu taya kwachit. Paripurna taya banti. Paripurna taya banti. Tatraiva purushottame. Tatraiva purushottame. So translation is, these qualities are sometimes very minutely exhibited in living beings, but they are fully manifested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the purport is, this verse is found in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu 2.1.30. Living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Maimayivamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritistani Karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Bhagavad Gita 15.7. The qualities of Krishna are present in the living entity in minute atomic quantities. A small portion of gold is certainly gold, but it cannot be equal to a gold mine. Similarly, the living entities have all the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in minute quantity, but the living entity is never equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is therefore described as the Supreme Being, and the living entity is described as a jiva. God is the Supreme Being, the chief of all living beings, eko bohonam yo vididati kaman. The Mayavadis maintain that everyone is God, but even if this philosophy is accepted, no one can maintain that everyone is equal to the Supreme Godhead. Only unintelligent men maintain that everyone is equal to God, or that everyone is God. Only unintelligent men maintain that everyone is equal to God, or that. This is Srila Prabhupada points out sometimes that we can understand Krishna something. Krishna is the Supreme Person, so we are also Nityo Nityanam Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. That Krishna is eternal. We are also eternal. Krishna is cognizant or sentient, chaitanas chaitananam. So we are also, so we can understand something about Krishna by just examining our own people here. You're taking? Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. So in this way, we should understand something about Krishna. Janma karma chamev divyam evam yo viti tattvata. We understand Krishna and our life becomes successful. No more birth in this material world. All right, so it's time, I guess. Taking a long time. Anybody questions or comments, something? Discussion? Okay. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you. You can ask question later.